back in 2010 was my first time that I actually did an assignment for a magazine using the whole thing shot totally on the on a phone camera on a phone. It was, you know, the iPhone came out in 2007. It was very early technology, and I started first of all using the iPhone to take pictures of, you know, everyday things like, you know, my family and etc. But then I realized that, you know, it was a great way of sort of adding to my, you know, existing cameras and you know, medium format cameras and 35mm cameras. So I approached a magazine and I told them that you know, I wanted to go to Bali to photograph the harvest in Bali, but I wanted to do it all on the iPhone. And of course my editor just thought I was mad, and my friends thought I was just completely crazy. You know, why would I do that? Why don't you shoot it in a traditional way like you've always been doing it? And why is it important that you want to shoot it this way? And I've got to say, I had lots of reservations when I started taking pictures on the iPhone, because it hasn't really, at that stage, 2010, 2009, no one had done a magazine feature with an iPhone, as far as I know. So, and it was something new, and there was lots of question marks about quality. You know, if you think about, you know, the iPhone in 2007, it was a 2, it was a very small file size, I guess, you know. And you take a picture and you have to wait 10 seconds to take another picture. So you had lots and lots of problems involved with it. But anyway, I just thought I'd do it anyway. So I went off and did it. And I'm going to start showing you some pictures. And if anybody has any questions, you know, you're halfway through, just yell out. And we want to try and make this as informal as possible. So off I go to Bali. And these are some of the pictures, some of the very first pictures that I took on my iPhone, the iPhone 2. So, sorry. So I just didn't want to just go there and start taking, like, you know, snapshots of, you know, rice fields and you know, beautiful clouds and skies and so forth. You know, I really wanted to use the iPhone to tell a story about how I would normally do an assignment for, you know, Time Magazine or National Geographic or whoever, you know, the same kind of thinking behind how I would approach a job. And once again, you know, I had really no idea what I was doing. I had this thing, I had this phone in my hands, and I had an app called Hipstamatic, which I didn't understand. And I was, you know, fooling around, playing around with it, but very, very, very soon, and then the first day, I realized that, you know, I was getting something that I was really excited about. And after 20 years of doing this, to get really excited about, you know, seeing pictures was just fantastic, you know. And it was and that's the reason why I got into photography. And this, after all these years, there was this little camera, and this tiny phone, that got me excited and started seeing things totally differently. One of the things it did was it totally slowed me down as a photographer, mainly because, you know, you take a picture and you had to wait 10 seconds before you take another picture. So it's not like you're just rattling off lots and lots of frames. You're slowing down and you're thinking about why I'm photographing that, for example. I'm thinking about composition and light and all those things that I would traditionally think about if I was photographing. You know, my next book is about on eagle hunters in Mongolia, and I'm photographing it in a medium format camera with lots of lights. So it's the same amount of thinking involved, and that was one of the main appeals for me with this new technology. And as I said, it was just, you know, I learned as I went. The thing that iPhone does, it gives you intimacy. You know, it's small. It's you can walk around. You can put it in your pocket. It you can get access to situations where you normally cannot using a traditional, you know, medium format camera or SLR. I give you an example. You know, if you're photographing in a small district in Wan Chai, you know, you want to go into a wet market and you walk up with, you know, two or three cameras around your neck, and people are immediately terrified of you. And I guess what an iPhone does, it gives you access into places that you normally would have difficulties getting into.
Would you say it's kind of less intimidating?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that's you know, that's what's one of the main advantages about using an iPhone, is that, you know, people aren't threatened by you.
I mean, you're a skilled photographer. I mean, but has there ever been a time where you've been caught taking a picture, even with your iPhone, and how do you get yourself out of that situation? You've been caught taking a photo.
Well, you know, I've been caught many, many times by taking pictures with normal cameras, you know, but I never, as you know, as far as I can remember, being caught. I mean, people have realized I've taken a picture and people have smiled, but people have never been angry about it. And I really think it's because...
That's skill on your behalf.
Right, and I also work really, really fast. And the fact that... you know, people aren't threatened, you know, people, it's okay, you know, he's just a tourist, or, you know, what can he possibly do with those pictures? We'll publish a book? Like, you know, so, you know.
Which you have. Right. What do you think is so special about Hong Kong that you can just take pictures with your iPhone that people will buy your book? You know, what's so special about Hong Kong that you couldn't do in any other place in the world?
You know, to me, I mean, the first thing I would say is that I love Hong Kong. You know, this is my second time I've lived here. There is no other city like it for a number of reasons. It's really energetic. It's colorful. It's go. It's noisy. It's vibrant. It's, you know, beaches to rainforest. So I think that's the reason why I love photographing Hong Kong. You know, that's the reason why I think that I see Hong Kong in that way. So it's a positive way of looking at Hong Kong. It's exciting, you know, to walk the streets of Hong Kong and finding, you know, like fish being dried. And I take a picture and I just think, wasn't that a great moment? Or some, you know, something, a lady sitting by the window or something. So there are so many things that happen that I think... That I'm, you know, makes me feel like I'm glad to be in Hong Kong, and I spend a lot of time away from Hong Kong, so it's nice to photograph.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder, maybe.
That's correct. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, you don't really use filters for your photographs. I mean, you do use some, but you're not a big fan of that whole digitalization of the photographs, I'm assuming.
Well, with my Vivid Hong Kong book, I did use an app. Which added a couple of things. It sort of added darkness around the edges, very similar to how I used to print, you know, in the old days in black and white printing. I used to darken the edges. And it also added a bit of contrast and a bit of saturation, nothing that you can't do by using traditional film. So it's really is a combination of style that I particularly like. Yeah, which I used.
Are you a big fan of filters, for example?
I'm not actually. When I shoot with traditional cameras, I don't use a filter. I sometimes use a polarizing filter because I have to. I just feel because I want to photograph real moments and I'm a portrait. I do mainly portraiture photography, so you don't really need filters for that. You just need light. You know, that's all you need in photography.
Well, since I have a photographer, an expert, can I show you a couple of mine just to throw a curveball? These are not filtered. I went to Sheko and I took a picture of this.
Well, that's amazing. Isn't that great? And
how can I make it better?
Well, you know...
I should say, I took a picture of the clouds and just the way that the sun is behind the clouds. And
yeah. I mean, I look at that picture and I would say how you can make it better is that, you know, you could make the sky a bit darker in Photoshop, completely allowed, because you could have done that in the dark room. And I find these two people in the bottom a bit distracting.
Ah, so cut them out.
Cut them out, okay. Or darken them, which is totally acceptable also in traditional type of photography. And if you can imagine them gone, your eye comes to that. I mean, that's the main focus of it. I'm talking about the beam coming out.
Yeah.
And I think it's a terrific picture, and it's a moment. And you wouldn't have had that if you didn't have your iPhone with you. You know, it's not like you were walking around with your SLR. So it's a real moment. I think you should be, and maybe you should start photographing clouds. And then end of the day, end of the week, end of the month, you might have
a book.
A book of clouds. And who knows? And you know.
Last question, I promise you. I'm a radio journalist, so I don't use visual things. But my passion, Shinri, this is my first time I've ever told anybody this, and you're the first person I'm telling this to. I love taking pictures of people without them knowing me. For example, this was Halloween last weekend, and this was 5 a.m.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, it's a picture of a chap throwing out of a taxi, you know? And I think those kind of pictures are really important because, you know, I mean, okay, this is something to think about.
I couldn't help it.
I mean, of course he doesn't want you to take a photograph, but this is a record of who we are. And hopefully in 200 years' time, if someone sees that... it'll be an extraordinary image. And
how can I make it better?
I guess being a bit closer would be better. But then again, I mean, maybe you should have taken the first picture and just walked up two steps and taken another picture.
Yeah,
and then if you really want to get creative, maybe you could take a picture of what was left behind. And that would have been a good study of, you know, what we ate as human beings 200 years ago. You know?
I'm going to email you my MTR album of my collection and see what you think. Thank you so much for your talk.
Pleasure.
Your talk was an absolute joy to me.
Thank you very much.